Sports. Wine. Life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Yeah, hello, welcome. This is the 13th edition of the Macko and Cause podcast. We are back. We are live. This is not an evergreen one because Bob Mackowitz, back from California. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing great. Hooray. Number 13.
That's right.
Do you ever get mad at elevators that go from 12 to 14?
It's so stupid.
Do you feel like
who are you fooling?
Right. You're gaming the system. Oh, look. No, nothing bad could happen here.
Yeah. Or, okay, let's go on this for a second.
Let's write a horror movie called The 14th Floor where the ghosts just get mad and go after everybody on the 14th floor.
Or they get confused. wait, what floor are we again? I was told this is 13. Actually, it's just 2 hours of two ghosts going, why isn't the number there? Who would have do this? Also, if we're going to go on that for a second, SP.
SP.
Yep. I used to, my last condo, I was in SP. Sub penthouse.
Sub penthouse.
That's what they called it. So stupid.
Is that like on Cheers when they made Woody the senior bartender?
Yeah, exactly.
You get a title in lieu of a raise?
Yeah. Yeah, it's so dumb.
Sub penthouse. I kind of dig that. Hey, I got a quick question for you. And you know, we'll talk more about California and some of my takeaways, but what are your thoughts? We talked last time we were live together about tipping.
Yeah.
And you know, the
cabbie,
the
bad cabbies,
the guilt about trying to not tip. Yeah. What do you think about places where you put in the card and they offer you the slip back and you don't actually have service? You're just going right to the counter to get your food, but they still have a spot for tip on it. So literally all you're doing is buying food, but nobody's serving you.
I don't give a tip. Now, if I'm like a sushi place I go to, you know, they'll give me some tea. And then I'll throw them a couple bucks, you know, but I will not, if I'm going for takeout, I won't do it.
Isn't that the most presumptuous thing going?
Yeah, they know they can get you.
There's a menu. Mm-hmm. There's prices on the menu. Isn't all of this factored in? I always feel like that is, it's like when somebody wants you to do a favor, right? And you're doing a favor for them, and then they start tapping their foot that you're not doing it fast enough.
Yeah.
And you kind of want to say, I'm helping you out here.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, no. That stinks. It should be gone, but you've got to be able to rise above the guilt. Like, for instance, when I'm at the LCBO.
This happened to me at the airport, by the way, yesterday. Sorry to interrupt you, but yeah.
Because
I didn't tip, and I was like,
then you feel bad.
That was good food, too. Anyway, sorry. Please continue.
No.
Okay, so on the rare occasions when you find yourself at an LCBO.
Apparently, you can buy wine there. So they will ask at the end, would you like to donate a couple of dollars for a children's charity or whatever? And I've mastered it. I want you, Bob, you're going to be the LCBO cashier.
Okay, so what do I do?
Just ask me if I want to donate to a charity. And remember, I've got all this, that's a $32 bottle of wine. So clearly, I got some bucks.
Okay, so, and would you like to give a couple dollars to a charity for children?
Oh, no, I'm good. Thank you. Like, I do it so, I am decisive. I am friendly. I am polite.
And falsely polite.
Yes, but you know what I don't have? Sheepish guilt. No, that's okay. No. I am confident. I will look you in the eye and say no.
Ask me and I'll do my version.
That's an expensive bottle. Anyway, sir, would you like to donate a couple dollars to this children's charity?
No.
Oh, well, that's pretty rude. Why do you hate children?
I can't help it, though.
Mine is a friendly one.
I know, but yours is false.
So what?
But that's the that's the difference between you and me, is that you would whip together some phony politeness and walk away and go, look at me, I'm a hero. Whereas I just look at the button and say, no, like I dropped 50 bucks in your store and now you got your hand out again?
Here's the difference. The cashier enjoys my answer more than yours. Well, because I'm trying to make people around me happy.
Yeah, well, you know what? They enjoy sticking out their hand into your pocket and taking more of your cash.
I guess I'm just...
Are you going to match? How about this? How about if I said this? You guys going to match? Well, if I give $2, are you matching?
It's not a bad idea.
Okay, that's it.
I'm not going to... I will not do that. Because I don't want to engage.
Because you don't want to be confrontational.
I want to get out. You're right. So I don't want to be confrontational.
And you know what? Remember Let's Rip Landsberg, the bit we were going to do?
Yeah.
This is where we can go back to Let's Rip Landsberg, because this is a Landsbergian move.
Total Landsberg
move. Michael
Landsberg
would look at you and just lie and fake his way through a pleasant answer. Mm-hmm. And then he walk away and go, do. Actually, you know what? I take it back. That is not Landsberg. That is you.
Yeah.
That's Kausia. You know, he doesn't deserve the credit for that. That is Kausia.
Get in, get out. No confrontation. I'm going home with my
wine. What about honesty? What happened to the good old days where you just were honest?
Honesty, like vegetables and celibacy, is fine in moderation. Okay? That's it. It has its place. As long as it's not all the time. Let's not get crazy.
But we're not lying to you if you're listening right now. Matt's telling you the truth now. Because he wouldn't lie.
Yeah.
Not to you.
No, not to you. The other guy.
The other guy, yeah. The other person. The other people that, you know, I don't value them, but you I value.
You are different. You are very different.
All right, so top five bucket list.
Top five bucket list sent in by Chelsea Darlington. Thank you very much to Chelsea.
The idea is, I guess because I went and did this big trip down in California, we thought everybody sent in a whole bunch of great suggestions. But we went with bucket list. What are the five items? I found this very difficult to do. You found it very easy.
I found it very easy. I love my list, and I think you will as well. And non-wine. All of them are non-wine.
Yeah, we stipulated. None of mine could have to do with food.
Yeah.
None of yours had to do with wine. I actually found it hard. I had to cut my top two out. That's actually true. I had to cut my top two out.
Yeah, so we're going to do that. The big question is, at what age do you start losing your sports knowledge, like your hardcore level? Mm-hmm. Because I have my fantasy football draft this weekend, and all of my friends, we used to, in 1993, we would watch everything. We would get together and watch the pregame, watch the 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, Sunday night. We'd watch 10 straight hours of football, and we would record the games because, remember, there's no internet. There was no DirecTV, just so we'd have these games if we wanted to watch them during the week. Now, no one knows anything. It was like, hey, who's this? Who's the backup running back? Who's the starting running back in Cincinnati? We're like, is it that rookie or is it Giovanni Bernard? And it's just like the knowledge...
Did you just call him Giovanni?
Yeah.
Not Giovanni, but Giovanni.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah. So that's the.
I love the setup for today's pod, Matt. You set yourself up as a true hero. Mm. So I love to not tell people what I really think, and I'm not following sports very closely. By the way, here's my sports podcast.
Yeah. 100%. There you go. Say, look. By the way, look at that, Bob. I'm being honest. You never know when the honesty comes out.
I don't know how it is that you always manage to scrape the bottom of the barrel and bring up
bring up
gold, right?
It's my greatest skill. Before we get into my non-sports takeaways and our sports takeaways, your highlights from California.
I'll just do it as a takeaway. Vacations are for doing things you would never do at home.
Yes.
And Los Angeles is an unbelievably qualified place to accomplish that goal.
It's a good thing Sandra was there because Los Angeles is a driving city.
We drove everywhere.
Yeah.
It was you have to. You have no choice. There's no transit.
So spread out.
And, I think we took an Uber once, but other than that, we were in the car all the time. Sandra had the funniest experience. So we went with George Strombolopoulos, my pal.
Yep.
We stayed at his place, and they decided they wanted to hit some comedy clubs. I stayed back at the place with my daughter.
Cool. So, oh, what comedy clubs?
They went to the Laugh Resort and the Comedy Store.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
So before that, they had to do a quick bit of business. And so they went and met a band called Behemoth.
Mm-hmm.
Behemoth is...
Wait, let me guess. Folk rock?
Folk rock, yeah. They're a little indie rock.
Yeah.
Zoe Deschanel, I think, sings on some of their stuff.
Oh, yeah. She sits in for some sets with her sitar.
They are so heavy, they were banned in their home country of Poland for inciting cult membership.
What?
Yeah. So they went and had dinner, and Sandra is waiting for them, and... Like, these nice guys come walking in. They're all clean cut. They got clothes. They're in this fancy, trendy restaurant. They're the nicest guys in the world.
Really?
So imagine this. You're sitting down for dinner with Behemoth. 25 people are there, and the lead singer stands up. Before we order, does anybody have any food sensitivities?
Really?
Yes.
Oh my God. I've never once asked that question in my life.
Oh, it was the best.
Interesting.
You know what? I'm going to try to quickly call up some Behemoth here.
Oh, some like Behemoth music?
Maybe I'll do it while you're doing your thing, just so I can play this for people understand the level of depravity of this music.
All right, I got two quick non-sports.
Sorry. Yeah, and the other thing was, I found myself, and there, I'll tell the story because you're going to ask. I found myself in the middle of the night at a 24-hour steam bath in Koreatown.
All right, the genesis behind that?
Strombo and I were in the car, and he goes, do you want to go get, they do this scrub thing where they put salt on loofahs and they scrub your body down?
Yeah.
So, I don't know how it happened.
How was it?
It was a little rough.
Yeah?
It was a little rough.
Oh.
But it was weird, because you go in, everybody's walking around naked, and it's a little seedy. Like, not gross.
By the way,
it wasn't gross.
You didn't need to say it's a little seedy. Just 24-hour... Anything that's 24 hour, at some point it gets seedy.
So we're sitting there in the sauna, and on the other side of the glass partition going out into the main hall, two guys who are clearly mob.
Yeah.
Clearly mob. It was like a scene out of Rounders. It was like there was, you know, they're in this, the robes and the chairs, and they're talking, and then every time somebody walks by, they stop.
Oh.
And then when that person's gone,
they start talking again. Yeah.
Oh, so good. Yeah, it was really weird. It was just a weird experience.
Did you have to play cool? Like, ah, no, this is all fine. It's like, oh, these men have got these like rough towels and they're in places they shouldn't be. But, no, whatever. Yeah,
that was exactly it. I was like,
I do this all the time.
I'm easy breezy.
I wish I brought my card because one more stamp and I got a, you know, I got a free disemboweling. And if you have to ask what that is, you can't afford it.
What I learned is that things you would never do at home, you will do on vacation. Mm-hmm. Sandra had dinner with Behemoth.
Yes.
And I found myself at 2 a.m. getting scrubbed down by Mr. Shin in a Koreatown spa.
I think Sandra wins in those two.
Does anybody here have any food sensitivity? All right. So that's my non-sports takeaway, Matty. Yeah. Yours, please.
Two real quick. First, I was in the elevator yesterday at 2:40. And I'm getting in, and there's a woman with a giant bag. And I can tell it's a giant bag of sushi. And it's takeout sushi. And I look at her, and I'm like, who orders this much sushi at 2:40? It's not lunch. It's not dinner. You're in that dead zone time. And so I was chatting with her the whole way because she was going up to the sub penthouse. And, you know, we were just having a conversation with this. I'm like, this is not like, I was holding a wrap. I had a tuna wrap. That's a 2:40.
But are you sure that it was for personal consumption?
Yes. I asked her. I'm like, are you delivering? And she's like, yes. I'm like, it's sushi, isn't it? She's like, yeah. How'd you know? I'm like, I can tell by the bag.
Yeah, but how do you know it wasn't for a bunch of people?
No, that's fine. It's for a bunch of people. Who orders that much sushi at 2:40?
But it's not a lot of sushi if there's a bunch of people it's going to. Do the math.
I understand that. But I just can't wrap my head around ordering, like, you've done lunch. Lunch is over, people. It's over. We're
all
moving
right,
on.
All right. First of all, you know what drives me crazy? Mm. When you go to somebody's place and they give you small portions, like, we're going to go have lunch at someone's house. And so, oh, we're going to have sushi. And you count it out so everybody gets 4 pieces of sushi.
Ugh, yeah. Like,
or they order a pizza. Okay, there's 8 of us. Okay, so let's get 16 slices. Like, 16 slices?
I'm like, what are you going to, after my 5, there's only going to be 11
but
left
that's
for the
exactly,
rest of you.
Because then you feel bad. Because you have 4 and you're basically just like stalking the table to see if someone's not going to have all
yeah.
of theirs.
Oh, yeah. And you don't want to have the last slice. And you know everyone's watching.
You're like a German U-boat in one of those World War II movies just like yes. trolling around the bottom of the sea just waiting for some unsuspecting destroyer to leave its sushi.
Sink the Bismarck. And you know what another thing that goes with? Oysters. I was out with oysters with 2 people I didn't really know that well. And there was 3 of us, and there was enough evenly divided. But I wanted to make sure, A, that I took my appropriate amount, but B, they didn't see me counting however much they ate. It's a delicate balance.
It is a delicate balance. Worst thing for me, Matt, and you know this, not only do I eat a lot, but I eat fast.
Yes.
So let's say there were 4 of us at the table, and there were 12 oysters. So, you know, Matt's pretty simple. I'll have my 3, but I'll eat them fast. Yeah. And then I have to wait while
now
everyone's
gotta,
chatting.
Yeah. you're just watching
sitting on
chew.
Your hands. Oh, it's painful.
Also, the one other thing. I was down in my gym today. And I had to leave early because I got the call. Like, okay, I'll be there at noon. Well, you know, I wasn't sure what time he'd actually make it. And there was a guy in the gym. And I know this guy. We're like the only 2 people that go at this time of day. But yesterday, he was there before me. I went in and I only had time for about a 40-minute workout. Then I had to leave. He's still in there. So I'm feeling shame. So then again, the second time today, I was in there first. He has no idea how long I was in before he arrived. But I had to leave like 5 because I got the email from you, like I'll be there around noon. So I had to leave, and he was just starting his workout. And I feel that tomorrow or next week, the next time I see him, I can't leave until he does. I can't let him.
You can't do it, Matt.
I can't let him 3 days in a row have the longer workout than me.
When you see someone jogging on a really hot day, do you feel A, impressed, or B, angry?
More B. More angry. Yeah.
You know what's the worst move, though? Speaking of the shaming, the person who makes you feel bad about how great their workout is,
yeah.
is the person who keeps jogging at the light.
Oh, yeah.
They're at the red and the look at me, keeping my heart rate up.
I'm better than you. Yeah.
Let's get physical.
I'm going to run you over with my Hummer.
All right, let's do some sports.
All right.
You got a sports takeaway?
I do. I do have a sports takeaway.
I'm really, I'm not even going to lie to you, Matt, before you do yours.
Yeah.
Don't ask me about the CFL. I've been in a bubble for 2 weeks.
Bob, you've been in a bubble for 20 years.
Okay, that's true, but I was going to look up, and I thought, I'm not even going to lie. I have no idea. How are the Argos doing?
Did
I see that Ricky Ray got hurt?
Yeah, Ricky Ray is hurt. He's out for the game tomorrow against the Montreal Alouettes. So it's going to be Jeff Matthews.
Who the hell is their backup?
No one. No one of note. I could sit here and describe them to you, but I'm doing the listeners a disservice. My sports takeaway actually has a California theme to it.
Ooh, I was
thinking
it.
About this. Do you know the name Josh Rosen?
I do. Quarterback from UCLA.
Yes. And usually NCAA talk doesn't do well in Canada, and that's fine. He can't be in everything. But Josh Rosen may be the number one pick in the upcoming NFL draft, and he's the quarterback for UCLA, so he has some cachet. In an interview with Bleacher Report, you know what he was? He was honest, and he was entertaining, and he talked about how the college system doesn't work. You can't be both a great athlete and a great student. And then he said, hey, if you raise the SAT eligibility requirements, Alabama would have no one on the field.
Now, he said that?
Yes, he said that. I can read you. You lose athletes and the product on the field suffers. And he specifically mentioned Alabama. And this is not a conversation about the SEC. This is a conversation about a quarterback who was honest, who took a shot. And that is some meaty stuff.
Now, was it designed? Now, I'm not questioning because obviously this made news down there, but I didn't really follow it because I was at Disneyland. So was it intended to be a shot at Alabama? Was that the real point?
No.
Or was it more just an honest, open disclosure
honest
about being a student athlete?
Honest discussion about just the world of the hypocrisy of the NCAA.
So what do you think of that? Do you love it?
Yes, I do love it. I love it because it's honest. But here's the thing. Here's my takeaway, is that enjoy this moment because it's soon going to be gone. We rip NHL players for being boring. They are. You know who's just as boring as the NHL? NFL coaches and the quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is a really fascinating guy until it's time for him to talk. Then he's boring. Tom Brady's never said an interesting thing in his life. And Josh Rosen, soon after he said this, his head coach, Jim Mora, said on the Dan Patrick Show, quote, I had a conversation with one particular player yesterday, a productive conversation. Then the Stanford coach, David Shaw, was poo-pooing it, saying, well, you know, when you have this platform here, you have to be careful. So already the coach is like,
oh. It's a funny way to put it, right? We have this platform. We have to be careful. In other words, don't say things that will rock the boat.
Yes.
Not don't make stuff up. Yep. It's like, shut up.
Shut up. Colin Kaepernick, distraction. Michael Sam, distraction. And what I love about coaches is they don't just see color or sexual proclivity or politics. It's anything. Josh Rosen, he was honest about the system. Get him. This is going to be soon scrubbed down, and this wonderful honesty from a quarterback who could become a star by the time he's in the NFL, bye-bye.
See, the quarterback is an interesting... In the NFL world, your quarterback has to be controversy-free.
Yes.
Because of all the pressure that's heaped upon them. And you don't want a divisive quarterback because we've seen how teams fracture. Think about Russell Wilson. And the idea that he was too close to the owner and that pissed off some of the defensive players because they were out there busting their butt, but there was Russell Wilson internally getting the accolades. Yep. Think about how Robert Griffin III, like that team was destroyed by his relationship with the owner.
Yep.
And so I guess what I'm saying is you want him to be as neutral and friendly to everybody because there's so much heaped on that guy's shoulders. If he fractures a room, your coach has a tough job. It might even appear on the field. If I was a head coach, I would love... QBot 5000.
Yes.
Just give me a guy with an arm who's 6'4", who knows how to scramble, and basically has no thoughts other than how to break down a defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's...
And if I'm an owner, I want that too, because I'm not making any more money off of a colorful player.
Yep.
I just need a guy who performs.
It's true, and that's why Tom Brady's great, because Tom Brady accepts...
He's QBot 5000,
yes,
right?
He accepts criticism. He's a football nerd, and he's really good, and he's... And the only controversial thing was the hat, was the Make America Great Again hat. And that became an issue for a little while.
And they backed right off. See how quick he backed off that?
Oh, yeah. And then remember, the reporters asking Belichick about it. And Belichick just went, Seattle. But Bill, you know, it's just your relationship with Donald, Seattle, which, again, was incredibly rude. But
I think that's why Aaron Rodgers is probably the most interesting of all the quarterbacks. Not only is he a great QB, but he's got a little bit of sandpaper to him.
He records interviews. I know. I heard that Lebatard interview as well. And that's as best as you can get out of him. And even then, you know, he's still guarded.
He's guarded, but he's less guarded.
He is, but he. You know what Aaron Rodgers...
But poor Cam Newton. Cam Newton's not guarded, and he's a fantastic athlete, and yep. he's been to a Super Bowl, and he had no... He went to a Super Bowl with so few offensive tools around him, both in terms of like his line, his running game, the receiving core. I mean, he was that offense.
Yep.
And still people ripped him. Why? Because he stepped out of line. You know how this works, man.
I know how it works, but
it's boot camp.
I would love to see Aaron Rodgers say something of that level of significance and fire that this quarterback from UCLA, Josh Rosen, said. I would love to see to read that sort of stuff, and it's not going to happen.
I thought that the Rosen comments were really interesting. Mm-hmm. I saw them. I didn't structure them, you know, but just because one of the great lies that we tell ourselves, we're happy to tell ourselves, is that this is a system that's good for the kids
mm-hmm.
because it allows the system to continue. And it is so good in so many other ways to so many people, right? The idea that somehow your scholarship balances out all the money the schools make. The NFL has this incredible feeder system where their rookies are already stars by the time they show up. I mean, just everybody wins.
Everyone wins.
But it's clearly so dirty.
Of course.
And it's clearly so ineffective, except for the purpose of keeping the football machine going.
Yes.
For that, it's extraordinary.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. So, yeah.
So, once again, so maybe we should call this the Shut Up edition of the pod.
This is the honesty in moderation.
The honesty in moderation. I kind of like that, yes. Matt. It's not, there's no nobility to it, but there's some truth to it.
And there's some honesty in that line. What's your sports takeaway?
EPL starts up. Arsenal and Leicester City tomorrow.
All right.
And my takeaway is this. I don't know jack about soccer. Like, who's kidding who? You've heard me on this pod talk about I like Arsenal, but I like Arsenal for one reason. My little nephew, Luca Pacheca, great kid, loves soccer. And I wanted something I could talk to him about.
Yeah.
So I started to follow this. And I really enjoy it. But here's my takeaway. Everybody should have to learn a sport at least once.
Mm, like traveling to another country that you've never been to?
Or just like... See, I'm. Here's the thing. Growing up with hockey, growing up with baseball, less so with basketball and football because we didn't really have those teams here. But it just kind of bred in the bone. You know how to follow the game. You default quickly to, you know, these kind of micro expert-y opinions. But learning something from the beginning, like actually watching a game and not knowing the basic rules, it's fascinating. I think everybody should do this at least once. Because you know what it teaches you?
Mm.
How weird and arbitrary it is to love a game.
Yeah. Interesting.
All those things that we talk about, like with baseball. You know how you can defend throwing over to first base?
Yes.
You can make a passionate case for the importance of holding a runner on.
It's the worst. But yes, you can. You understand it. But yeah, if you were someone watching it the first time, you're like, why is he doing that? This is so boring.
It's so stupid. And you know when you talk to people and you kind of dismiss them, they say, this is really dull.
Mm-hmm.
This makes no sense to me. And you think to yourself, you're an idiot.
Like, yeah.
You don't see the bounty before you, this whole buffet of great sports viewing entertainment, but I don't know anything about soccer. And I watch with Luca, who knows everything about it. And to listen to him talk is fascinating because I miss all of it. You get a chance to start again. You get a chance to be young again. You get a chance to be new. I recommend to everybody, when it starts up tomorrow, watch. But then don't do it with the expectations like this is stupid because it doesn't remind me of hockey. Try to learn it on its own terms.
Fascinating experience. Can I pick a different sport?
Well, it's...
I'm just saying, like, if I... Because, you know, I know I've dipped my toe in soccer in the past. I'm just trying to think of, like, a different sport for me to start watching.
You know, the problem is there's so much sports
yeah,
that we like, watch. Like
could you do
NASCAR?
I guess.
Could you learn NASCAR?
Yeah, absolutely. But then I'm going to have to take something out.
What about horse racing?
I already like horse racing. I wouldn't feel horse racing.
What about UFC?
I could do UFC. I don't really watch the punching sports.
Mm-hmm.
You know. By the way, we may do a, if you're around, for the Landsberg, McGregor, Mayweather fight. I'm going to bring the equipment over. We could do a Macko and Cause podcast.
Emergency pod?
From Michael Landsberg's house. We could have Michael could drop on for a couple minutes. Other celebrities will be there. And you know, as the night goes on, you could have producer Aaron Carolnik from TSN Radio.
I wasn't going to watch the fight, but I'll do it for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wait, you don't go for the fight. You go for the party. You go for the food. It's the Landsbergs. It's always a great spread.
My only problem with this, Matt, maybe we could do a takeaway on this, is following and contributing to this fight.
Oh, I know. Oh,
feels
I
so dirty.
Of course it does. And I mean, we can get into
for so many reasons.
Yes.
It's not a real fight.
No, no.
It's
oh, no,
a total sham.
We know.
The people involved are of dubious character.
And the money
at
is going
best.
And the money is going directly to a domestic abuser.
Right.
Yeah.
So for so many reasons. Like
of course.
Even just going to this party and hyping it up, it kind of gives me a nauseous feeling.
I don't know if there's going to be a food truck. What's going to be the dessert spread? It's, you know, it's going to be delicious. And by the time
they're paying you off, though, Matt, they're buying you off.
But here's the thing:
they're buying your soul.
By the time the fight starts, let's face it, I'll probably already be drunk anyway. So you know, I will, probably won't even see it.
I don't know if I'm making my point clearly. Like the
you
fact
are.
That you'll be drunk in full.
No, no. We discussed on the show. It's the same thing with just the morality of the fight.
I have such a hard time. But you know what? Though I could justify going mm-hmm. if we were going to. Do a pod.
Yeah.
An emergency pod.
An emergency
like our
pod.
Infamous, not so great Wonder Woman movie review.
Oh, Wonder Woman should have been better. Should we do the top five?
Yeah, I think we're done. Yeah, let's go into the top five.
Okay.
Like done for takeaways, I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Top five, and it's top five bucket list. And this was sent in by Chelsea Darlington. And mine had to be non-wine. So I kept off the list. One thing I'd love to have done is gone to like a really famous vineyard for a year and doing all the jobs, like picking the grapes, which is hard work, and pruning, and follow the entire process until it's bottled so that I would know 5 years later when it was released, I had something to do with that. But I'm keeping that off, and
okay,
you're
so,
doing non-food.
All right, so before we start, I want to set the terms, because you and I always get into trouble because we don't set the terms before we begin.
Yep.
The key to a bucket list is not something you dream you wish you could do in a hypothetical sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wish I could fly, or
yeah,
it
no,
has
no,
to
no.
be something you could actually do.
Yes, that humans can
actually do.
Yep. Human,
and more importantly, not just humans, us humans.
Us humans,
the
yes.
two sitting here. Things
yes.
we could actually do.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed? All right, let's go.
Okay, my number five, technically I could do it. It'd be hard, but Oliver Stone has done it to an extent. My number five, I want to be able to go and see all the evidence about the JFK assassination. I want to be able to go through all the records, stuff that hasn't been released, you know, and just try to, you know, put because it's one of the great mysteries. And again, I wasn't born at the time. I was, you know, minus 12 when it happened. But my number five, I want to go through all the records somewhere deep buried in at the White House.
Okay, so I was going to ask, is there a place where they store all this? Or is it like Raiders of the Lost Ark, where top men put it in a crate and just kind of tuck it away at the back of a warehouse?
I have some conspiracy theory. I think there's stuff they haven't released. And I want to be like, okay, Matthew, you're the only one. For your eyes only there, Roger Moore. You get to go and take a look. So my number five
right,
on the
bucket
list.
Before you go on, I'm sorry, Matt, but that's terrible.
No,
like,
it's not.
Not even like, you don't even know if this place actually exists, but your bucket list is to go there.
Yep.
Okay, great.
Yep.
So I want to go to the land of unicorns for my fifth one, because I believe in my heart
I feel
that
mine
unicorns
is
exist.
I feel mine is probably a greater chance of happening than yours. And by the way, Bob, oh, wait. Yep, I bet the under, but how long you would take before you started to rip my top five? I win! I took the under, which was 12 seconds. So that is my number five. Also, just go through all the Warren reports and everything. I want to go through it all. That's my number five.
All right. Mm-hmm. Go for four.
All right.
Go for all of them.
Number
I'll try and hold back my criticism until at least 15 seconds go by.
Number four, I want to be killed in a zombie movie.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I want to be cast in it. I don't have to be a star, but I want like just a couple talking lines. Like and you know I'm going to die, but just shotgun in hand as I'm sitting there, you know, it's the 12-gauge shotgun, and I am killing zombies before they will all overtake me, you know, like just a big thing of ants, and, you know, the hand's the last thing to go.
That's so good. All right, you totally redeemed your terrible fifth one. Okay, so what's your third?
My third one, I had the greatest lunch I've ever had was a place called the Gramercy Tavern in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Went there on my own, and it was a great lunch, great service, and I just made friends with all these people. And it was all these people, and I just had the best time. So I want to go back there for lunch with Woody Allen.
With Woody Allen?
Yes.
Matt, didn't we say off the top that it should be something you would be able to do?
You could be able to do that. There's
You're going to phone up Woody Allen and say, hey, I'd love to take you to lunch?
I can say that. I get him to interview him for the podcast, for the Macko and Cause podcast. We do lots of pop culture. Maybe it's a Make-A-Wish thing. Who knows? Maybe I weasel my way in. But my number three, I want lunch at Gramercy Tavern with Woody Allen. That's number three.
All right. You already know that I'm boycotting number three.
Number two. I'd like to I don't know if I could do all of it, but as much as I could. The Great Wall of China.
Mm.
I'd love to just be able to do as much as I could the Great Wall of China.
That's a great one.
And at number one, I would like to go 35,858 feet below the surface of the ocean. Ooh. That is the deepest point ever reached by man in a deep dive. I love swimming. I love scuba. I love all that kind of stuff. So to be able to go down to this one point that only a couple of human beings have ever done. I love oceans and all, and we don't explore the oceans enough. So that would be number one on my bucket list.
All right, that's also not super likely, but all right, I'll take it.
I do apologize for my ambition. It has cost me on this list. Proceed.
You're so obnoxious.
Yep.
Number five. Let's just get it out of the way. I'd like to learn to drive. I'd like to drive a car.
Way to go, Bob, on your bucket. Okay, no, it's fair. It's fair.
Come on. If you were my age and you'd never driven a car,
yep,
wouldn't you think this is something before I go I would love to do?
How about before?
With a license. That's the key. Like, I don't want it to be in some parking lot, some Zeller's parking lot.
Yeah, the middle of the night.
The middle of the night.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah, okay. No, that is fair. I mean, it's good to set your goals for something that 17-year-olds can do. Will you be able to get this done before your daughter, Charlotte, gets her license? Who's getting it first?
Well, let's throw out the bet right now. Like, who do you think? Like, Matt sitting. Actually, Charlotte is with me right now because my wife's at work, mm-hmm, and so she's not in camp this week. We just got back from LA, so she's with us. So, Charlotte, do you want to say hi?
Hi.
Hello, Charlotte. Charlotte, who's getting their driver's license? Who's going to be able to drive first between you and your dad?
I hope my dad.
Yeah. Is he not providing everything he's supposed to as a parent?
I don't know what that means, but okay.
Yes, exactly. The fact that you said, I hope my dad. I hope your dad as well, but I think you might get your license before your dad.
Okay, I'll try.
Yes. Oh, that would be great.
I hope my dad.
I hope my dad, Charlotte. You don't know, but that was a hilarious line.
Oh, mercy, mercy me. Number four on my bucket list, I want to go to a premiere of a movie created by me and Strombo.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really talked about this, but he and I have a production company together. We have a number of projects that are out there, but it is a miracle to get something actually made and done. I've done this with a short film. Mm-hmm. I've been at the premiere of a short film that I made, but never like a feature length.
Red carpet, Ben Mulrooney is interviewing you.
Absolutely, flash bulbs going off.
Oh, and wait, and can you do like, you go on the circuit, where you go on the press circuit before, and you get asked a question, you know, so what was it like working with George? I hear he's a real prankster on the set. You know, like, which is every Entertainment Tonight question.
Oh, we just had such a great time. You know, the energy was fantastic. The actors really loved it. It was like a little family out there.
And just, you know what united us was we all had the same vision. And, you know, there was tough days, but when it was done, I cried. When it was a final cut, I cried.
All right, so drive.
Yeah.
Be at a premiere for a film that we make.
Yep.
My bucket list activity, mm-hmm, I would love to complete an Olympic duathlon.
Mm-hmm.
I've nibbled at the edges of this. You've done the marathon. You've run a marathon. That's a bucket list kind of thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to run a marathon because I am built like an NFL linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
I basically look like Craig Ironhead Hayward. That's how
you're
I'm
the white
built.
Version of Craig.
Exactly. I'm Bob Ironhead Mackowitz, 300 pounds north and south. But the bike and swim, I think I could do. So I dream one day of doing an Olympic duathlon.
Mm-hmm.
My second one with my daughter, I thought about what could we do, you know? Because when you got a kid, it's...
Everything changes.
Right.
And it's supposed to, by the way.
Right. You know, but I didn't want it to be like, you know, her university graduation or becoming a grandfather, because that presupposes that I'm imposing how I think she should live her life onto how she actually does. Let her accomplishments be hers.
All right.
So here's what I came up with.
Mm-hmm.
Scuba diving in the South Pacific with my daughter.
Nice.
That would be a bucket list thing. The two of us. Hey, Charlotte, you want to go scuba diving one day?
Yes.
Charlotte, you want to come with me to the deepest point in the ocean that that a human being has ever been before at 35,858 feet below the surface of the ocean? That sound fun?
Only if we're in a submarine, yes, with scuba diving outfits.
Yeah, no, we'll be in scuba diving outfits, but we'll be out of the submarine. We'll be in the water swimming.
That sounds good. I love the ocean.
Nice. See? Love it. So we can all do this together.
There you go, Matt. Yeah. So I guess what we could do is we could go for a quick scuba, and then you could pick up Charlotte and take her another 35,000 feet down.
Done and done.
Into the depths of Mariana's Trench.
Boom.
All right. And number one, my bucket list, my number one is I just want to get to my 50th wedding anniversary with my wife. because that means I have lived another 36 years.
That's a good one.
And so is she.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just think that would be real, real cool to sit there at that table, you know, and look at the span of your life.
Yep.
So that's mine, Matt.
Mm-hmm. That's
mine. Although, honestly, I do feel I wish I'd included the zombie in it because that was really good.
Zombie movie one is good. Oh,
you know who I think I'd like to be? I mean, I'm going to steal your idea here, like just sort of do my version because I love your zombie movie idea.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be a Russian hitman in a movie, but I want to be the guy who wears like the red Adidas tracksuit
and just stands there and looks
mad.
Yeah.
And like the main boss is sitting there playing cards with someone and I'm in the back looking like, oh, I wish he would just give me a mission to kill somebody.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Because there's different Russian mob. There's the full suit and tie guy.
Right.
And then there's the track pants guy.
I want to be track pants guy.
And see, I want to be suit and tie guy.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Like you want to be a John Wick guy.
Yeah.
And I want to be one of the guys from Rounders.
Yeah. 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 Perfect way to put it.
Have Knish, you know, over in the corner and John Malkovich. Yeah. So, young Matt Damon, are you tired of me poking you about all evening?
That's right. Eating your Oreos.
That's right, as he's playing with the Oreos.
Yeah, yeah.
Get out of here. Take it all.
I'm trying to think of...
I'm enjoying this accent too much. I kind of want to do the rest of the show in it.
Well, that'd be very entertaining. I'm trying to think like, ooh, other people I'd like to be in movies. In like the Mission Control scene... I want to be one of the scientists, you know, who maybe has one line like it's coming in or just one line. I want to be a scientist in a Mission Control.
I love it. So all of NASA's decked out. You're tracking the storm that's coming out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then you're the guy who says, Captain, come over here and look at this.
Yeah.
I like that.
Here's another one because then we're going down this rabbit hole. This one might be too ambitious. I want to be the head of all the gadgets in like a James Bond sort of movie, and just to say I want to do
the
line.
There's a character. I know.
It's Q. I know, but let me be a generic one for like in John Wick, for instance. In the John Wick movies, there was one guy, the sommelier, who had the different guns, who described every gun by wine. But I just want to do the line. I just want to say this line in the movie. Put that down. You'll get yourself hurt. I just want to have that line. I don't need to be in James Bond. I want that archetypal character.
Okay, I want to be the waiter in a rom-com when the couple that's supposed to be getting together, but they haven't figured out how to get along yet, and they're doing some kind of arguing at the table, and I want to be the cutaway where I'm standing there waiting patiently for them to finish before I can lean over and say something like, any dessert, please?
Yes. No! You know, and then that comes. I want to be the guy with the monocle. I want to be in an 80s comedy where I'm part of the rich crew and then, you know, and then the leader of the skateboard gang comes in and then I'm like, and then my monocle falls in the champagne. I want to be that guy.
Big question this week.
Big question is, and by the way, good to get back on track because we just kept doing that.
We were so far, actually, Matt, I believe we were in that sub headed for the bottom of the ocean
now. We were almost going to be at 35,858 feet. The big question, at what age did you start losing your sports knowledge? And by that, like, listen, we have just like being in this business more knowledge of sports than the average fan. We're supposed to. And, you know, it's still there. But I'm talking that crazy obsessive. It's not just about knowledge, but it's also about you spent so much of your time, you know, obsessing over stats and reading about this and that. And, you know, I can name the starting offensive line for every team in the NFC East. At what point does that start to go away?
I think it starts to go away once university ends because you got to get a job. Or whenever you do, whether it's college or you go right from high school, whenever you start to have a job, as soon as you have to do something for 40 hours a week and you have to show up at 9 a.m. anywhere, you just don't have the ability to do the 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. circuit. And that's where you do your best learning.
Yeah.
So I think it's the entry into the job world is where you start to lose your sports horny.
And I do like sports horny. I think there could be like different tiers for it. Once you get that full-time job, it's going to go down a bit. But you can still keep it. I've had friends that can. But you're right. That's the first sort of reduction. The next one after that, when you get married. That's a big one. And then we all know the final level, once you have children, is the final step. Like my twin brother, Josh, huge Chicago Bears fan. I don't remember. He's admitted this. Like, I don't remember the last time I watched more than a little bit of a Bears game.
Matt, to prove your point, yes. I have my daughter right here sitting on my lap.
Yes.
Charlotte, does Daddy watch a lot of sports?
Yes.
Does Daddy watch too much sports?
Yes.
Have you ever told Daddy stop watching sports because you want to watch something else?
Yes, like yesterday.
What? Now, what did you want to watch yesterday?
Miraculous.
Well, I mean, it's miraculous. I mean, how can you not?
And what did Dad want to watch?
Sports.
Do you remember which game I was trying to watch?
I bet it wasn't a replay of a CFL game.
Nope, it wasn't. I know that for sure.
We all know that, Charlotte. We all know that.
So, yeah. Case in point, it's a little tougher.
Yeah.
Because unless you're willing to sit in your own on your own and ignore everybody, and it's kind of creepy. Like, you could do it every once in a while for a big game. Sunday's really good for that, I find. You can watch most of one football game and people will respect it, but to do every night, to sit by yourself for 3 hours.
But you know what you can't do on Sunday?
Hmm.
1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock
game. No, you got to pick your game. It forces you to be regional.
Yeah, it does. And, I mean, again, this came to me because all of my friends, there's going to be 10 of us, and you've met my friends. These are hardcore sports fans. And
crazy madness sports fans.
Yes.
And the inspiration was the fantasy draft. And you guys are so intense into it. You all book off the same weekend.
Yes.
And doesn't Josh fly a Chicago Bears flag at your cottage up the flagpole?
Yeah, absolutely. And also, here's how bad it is. I'm missing my girlfriend's birthday. It's her birthday on Sunday, the 13th of August. And I can't be there because one of our friends is flying in from Australia to be with his to visit family in Ontario. But okay. This is the weekend? Okay, we're going to do it on this weekend. And tons of my friends have had to miss, you know, wives' birthdays or kids' birthdays were pushed a couple days. So this is a fanatical group of sports fans, and yet almost all of them, and they're not saying this to try to, you know, make it seem like if they win, it's a heroic act. All of them have said, yeah, my knowledge is nothing. I haven't started doing my research. You know when I started doing my research, Bob?
Hmm.
During commercial breaks of the radio show. Like, I'm like, oh, God, I need, and also tomorrow I'm going to have to print. And it's one of the great things about being back working.
Are you on the air again tomorrow?
Yeah. I'm doing morning show for the next 3 weeks. And one of the best parts is I'm going to use all the Bell stationery I can. I'm going to abuse that printer tomorrow. But it's like last minute just trying to get all this knowledge. And 10 years ago, it would have been so much better. There, like, we would have known everyone. Now everyone's like, who's the starting wideout for Tennessee?
So
no, seriously, who's the starting wideout? I don't know.
Isn't it Kenny Britt?
Kenny Britt's in Cleveland. And I only knew that because I was proving a point about Devontae Freeman.
Right.
But yeah.
So here's what inspired me by the question, because I thought it was interesting. It got me to thinking, so what is the age when you actually know the most about sports? What is your peak sports knowledge?
Great side question. It is...
Are you 13?
No. You're
older. Are you 15?
You're older than that. You are... See, you know what it depends on? How'd you do with the ladies? That's a part of it because that will start.
That's a great point.
That will start to cut in.
If you have a social life after about 13, you kind of split focus.
You split focus.
For me, it was 11. Mm-hmm. 10 or 11, I was at my absolute sports peak in terms of what I knew. And to your point, like, there wasn't really much competing for my attention back then.
Nor should there be. I was.
I could tell you every stat about the Jays day to day.
Yeah.
Just like the first thing you would do when you would wake up is grab the newspaper. You would memorize, you know, what's Rick Bassetti hitting?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. 10 years old. That's it. That to me, peak knowledge is 10 years old.
For me, I'm going to go early university. And the reason is, even though, like, most of the girlfriends I had were very understanding, which played a part. But also university, all right, I'm not going to lie, you know, the arts degrees, there's some free time. And I remember every Monday getting the Toronto Sun, looking at all the NFL stats, you know, from all the games. This would be like 1994. I think the peak is somewhere for me would have been between 16 and 20. Because you have to be old enough to stay awake to watch the late night sports centers or things like that. So for me, it was somewhere between 16 and 20.
But the thing is, your guys were all sports guys first.
Yes.
Your group was a sports group. And they may be of other interests, but the predominant conversation,
yeah.
Whereas I grew up with the music kids.
You grew up with more, yeah, the music
I grew up,
kids.
Right, and some of us loved sports and some of us didn't. I was the jock.
Yeah.
Like, I was the guy in our group who loved sports the most. But I went to high school and I've known Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet my my whole life. His guys were the hockey guys. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember
that's
when
funny because he doesn't know or like hockey. It's,
you think why some would, of it would have rubbed off.
Why would Jeff Merrick have hung out with hockey guys when the man is pretty ignorant when it comes to the game? Weird. Well, you know, hey, he's an outlier. He's an outlier. You know, you're like, he proves that maybe osmosis doesn't work.
I was living with Jeffy, and he had his buddies over for a barbecue. They went to Kensington Market to buy shark because they were playing the San Jose Sharks in the playoffs. And then went out and dyed their food blue so it would look like the Maple Leafs. They bought shark. Well, I don't know if they ever actually got shark. Well, they looked for shark.
Shark steaks.
Right, okay. Yes, then they bought shark, yes.
Oh, my God.
So I didn't have that group of friends, but you kind of did, but for football.
Yeah.
Everybody,
absolutely.
I've gone to some of your parties even now, and I've met some of your friends mm-hmm. like that I haven't known that well.
Yeah.
And the first thing they do is they glom on like one of those barnacles on a ship and just start pounding football talk.
Yeah.
And they're really angry about it.
And by the way, when was that happening more? A decade ago. And you know what was happening a decade ago? A lot of the friends weren't married and none of them had children. Then when you start having children get married, you soften. You no longer care that your buddy says he's a Chargers fan but can't name Philip Rivers. You know, so that changes after a little while. What's like to me my nerdiest sports moment was in university watching a simulated Giants Eagles game on Madden football on my Sega Genesis, sitting on my own watching a game.
I think probably for me it was draft simulator stuff, and every time the Leafs would win the draft simulator, I would get excited.
You'd get excited.
Like
yeah.
Literally excited. Yeah. The ESPN draft simulator might as well just be called the How Sad Are You meter.
Yeah.
By the way, I talked about how Sandra, my wife, went to dinner with Behemoth.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to hear some Behemoth now?
I would like
to
hear.
I'll call it up on my iPad. So my wife had dinner with these guys in Los Angeles. I'll flip to the next song here. Oh, this one's called Blow Your Trumpets. That's this one.
The hell is this?
It's pretty loud. Oh, this is called In the Absence of Light.
I see fire. I see fire. All right, get that off. You're scaring your daughter. What the hell? And that's those.
Does anybody have any food sensitivities?
I mean, that sounds like a music you do when you're about to take someone hostage.
That's what I'm listening to in my Russian club.
Yeah. And by the way, what people can't see is that Bob is...
You might as well just full disclosure.
Bob is wrestling with Charlotte for the microphone.
He wasn't really actually scaring me.
No? Okay, I know. I was making a joke. I know that wouldn't scare you. But thank you for ruining
the
joke.
She's shy to grab the mic.
Charlotte,
nothing would.
Charlotte, I'm gonna sometimes teach you a thing about yes and. You know, that's where you've got to go with my comedic premise and carry with it. I feel very soon you'll be able to get that.
All right, so what do we
do? So that was not a James Taylor cover band?
It was. What's the song by Hera by James Taylor? I'm blanking on it.
I see fire, I see rain.
No. What is it? You need a friend?
I don't remember.
Whatever.
I just picked James Taylor because he's just, you know, the light acoustic guy.
I got blanked.
You're the music guy.
I know, I should know that, but all right, so what was our resolution on the matter of when do you lose your sports knowledge?
I think for me, the big drop-off, in the end, I'm going to go at around 21, when you're starting to get done university. That's the first drop-off. But then the big one, once they say it's a boy, 100% just changes.
I think it's when you get your first job, but I'm pretty sure that it really ends the second that you think there's another way to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
The second you think there's another way to have fun, it starts to end, even in a small sort of a way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the reason why one of the groups of guys, it goes longer than it might for the general public is because it's the currency of your conversation.
Yes.
That's how you guys have fun together.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I had.
So for you, it's about the breaking apart of the group.
Yes.
Whereas for me, it was about the influx of new sources of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go. So We've learned something important here this day, Matt.
It's going to be
informed. That I'm into variety, whereas you cling to the core so tightly.
Is that what we learned?
That's what I'm going to walk away with, yeah.
Well, you know, I learned that, you don't think that one day I won't have lunch with Woody Allen at the Gramercy Tavern. It's in New York. It's close to where he lives.
Are you still allowed to do your Woody Allen impersonation?
Of course I could still do any sort of Woody Allen impersonation. It's been a while since, it's not exactly an impersonation. It's more of an homage, which I thought was a cheese once I had it. No,
I thought you did okay.
It wasn't bad.
I thought the cheese line was kind of good.
The cheese line
was
good.
If I may answer as a Russian hitman.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you did an excellent job there, Matthew.
Yeah, it's a good thing you didn't do the entire podcast with that voice. But that was good.
Thanks.
That was good.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I feel real good about it.
Yeah.
I even have the red tracksuit. Because Cebulski, Gareth Wheeler, and I once upon a time dressed up for press shots. I should send those pictures out onto the internet because TSN never used them. Okay, here's what we're talking about. It's a bit of a buried reference. But when I used to do the radio show with James Cebulski at TSN 1050, I proposed that we do press shoots dressed up as like kind of old school hip hop guys, all in red tracksuits, tops and bottoms, Adidas, three stripes, and we did these shots, we were jumping, it was really fun, and they looked at it, and they did not use it. They went for the ones where we wore ties.
I know, of course, and just...
Because God forbid they should find out that we have fun.
Every press shot, so many of them, it's either, you know, suits and serious, or it looks like you're trying too hard to have fun.
Why is it that the press shot for sports guys always has to put you in a tie? It's not like you're going on BNN and you're going to explain the Dow. Like, you're going to talk about anything from curling Marcus Stroman.
Yeah, you're talking about Gronkowski on a cruise ship. You know, it doesn't need it.
And the other thing is, why is it whenever they want to have the show that your show is fun, there's always bobbleheads on set?
Always. Oh, it's so true.
Look, these guys, they're just regular guys. They got bobbleheads.
Wait a minute, that's an Ernie Witt one. They like baseball from the 80s.
Oh, look, there's a jersey. It's a Jordan jersey.
It's funny, as we're talking about this, I was trying to think, wait, is that on any of the TSN shows?
It's on all of them, Matt. Anything where you're either suit and tie guy or you're bobblehead guy.
Yeah, and the bobblehead guy, again, falls in the other category, trying too hard to look like you're having fun.
It's the whole man cave concept.
I know.
Whose man cave really looks like that? Can I describe what Matt's man cave looks like right now?
Yeah.
The top shelf has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14 empty bottles of wine.
Yeah.
A piggy bank.
Yep.
Looks like some kind of coffee bean grinder.
Yeah, but it's filled with corks.
Yeah.
I'm on brand.
So basically wine, money.
Yeah.
And then some pictures that look like your girlfriend put them up on the bottom one and your keys.
Yes.
That's your man cave.
Yeah, that's pretty much about it. Yeah, there it is.
Hey, Mr. Partey.
Yo, Brosif, let's crush some brew.
Oh, and you've got letters on you got a little kitchen island here where we do our thing, and you've got letters that spell out the word. Say it, Matt.
Believe.
Believe. Yeah, what should I believe in, Matt?
I believe we're near done.
I believe your girlfriend put them there.
By the way, I just realized something.
What's that?
You haven't seen the last episode of
Game of Thrones? What are you talking about? I watched it last night at 1 in the morning when we got home.
Okay. No wonder you were late. Yeah, we all slipped in.
We did all sleep in.
Yeah, well, you were up till 1 watching it.
It was good.
10 out of
two, two words, buddy.
Yeah.
Dragon fight.
Dragon fight.
Seriously?
It's about time.
The dragon versus the Lannister army was basically Dredrick Tatum against Homer. It was the best.
Oh, my God. I'm giving this season so far, and it's early, out of 10, 32.
Wow.
32 out of 10.
Bold, audacious pick. I like it, and I endorse it. What I like about this season is there's no, and we've talked about this before, there's no season-long walk and talks.
Yeah.
Everything is either killing or planning to destroy.
Yeah, I have an expression I want to describe, but I don't want to do it.
In front of my daughter?
Yeah.
Okay, hey, Charlotte. Charlotte, can you take your book and leave the room for a quick second? Matt has to say something.
Just for a quick second. Go explore the house. Don't worry. The people that are staying here for the Airbnb aren't around anymore.
She's gone. She's gone.
They've got rid of the foreplay. There's no, like, just the foreplay is done. We're getting to the good stuff.
I actually heard the sliding door to the balcony open.
Yep. And now there she is on the balcony by herself. And now Bob's going to get nervous because we're up here in the penthouse.
Yeah, so you talk and I'm going to go bring her back in. Hang on.
You want to do okay. She's coming in now. You're fine. All right. You should see it. Bob is being so paternal, which is good. Which is better than the opposite.
You mean I'm not letting my daughter wander around some strange balcony on the 12th floor?
Not a strange balcony.
Well, it is your balcony.
So, Bob, what are we talking about next week?
Oh, geez. We'll probably talk a little NFL, I would think.
Yeah.
Training camps are starting up, and there's going to be
pre-season.
More. We didn't even talk about Cutler this week.
You're right. You know what it is?
Should we at least do a quick hit on Cutler before we go?
We got 5 minutes.
Cutler versus Kaepernick?
Okay.
We got to do it this week.
All right. Real quick, my thoughts as football players, there's not much difference between one versus the other.
Right.
So if you want me to get upset they signed Cutler over Kaepernick, it ain't going to happen. There's about 8 or 9 cowardly owners in the NFL that could probably use Kaepernick, and they're not. And it's based on fear, sales, a little pinch of racism, and also just ignorance. They also just don't, I don't think they're fully understanding what's going on. I hope Kaepernick gets a job soon. Having Cutler back in the NFL is hilarious. So that's going to be fun.
Isn't the NFL better when Jay Cutler's in it?
Yeah.
And he's even in my division as a Bills enthusiast. So
that's
I get
right.
to see him play my team twice.
Yeah. And also, Cutler, you know what's a great thing about Cutler?
Hmm.
Cutler's the perfect person for the uncomfortable white person. They say, no, we don't just go after Cam Newton. We hate Cutler as well. Cutler's the white guy that all white people can agree on. We don't like that guy. We need Cutler.
That's actually a really good point. Does anyone actually like Cutler?
No. No. No one likes Cutler.
What drives you nuts about that situation is he doesn't even really want to play. He just can't turn down the money.
He's like, $10 million. I'm a coach.
I can't say no.
And I'll work on my tan.
As a Bills enthusiast, this drives me crazy, though, because now it feels like the Dolphins won't be as good as they might have been. Like maybe they've gone from a team that's 10-6, possibly, to a team that's more of an 8-8 team.
Yeah, 8-8, 7-9.
But you know what that means? Mm. That means that the Bills could easily be in the mix as well. Every year they do this. As a Giants fan, like what's your eternal hell? Because my eternal hell is that they never stink bad enough for you to say, okay, this is the year where we can just say, all right, we're just gonna burn this thing down. We're gonna get we're gonna get Daenerys' dragon, and we're gonna torch the whole thing.
Yeah,
they feel like an 8-8 team again.
Of course, they're always an 8-8 team. I don't have that personal hell because Eli Manning beat Tom Brady twice in a Super Bowl.
Oh,
unlike Peyton Manning, I beat Rex Grossman. Gar darn it!
I can't believe I met. This is my personal hell. Is you bringing up
Eli
those two wins.
Manning?
Oh man!
So I hope Kaepernick gets a job soon.
You know what I realized as a Bills fan you are?
Yeah.
You become Jack Nicholson in The Shining when Grady, the caretaker, pulls him over and says, you are the fan. You have always been the fan. That was a vague reference.
It was. I liked it.
Thanks.
But then I like
tweet
Shining.
Us if you actually got that.
Yeah.
I'm running out of steam.
Bob, it's been a fun one. Good to have you back. Glad you enjoyed California.
Wonderful, wonderful place, especially if you have a car and someone else is driving.
Yes or no, before we end it, did you get any sort of fast pass at Disneyland?
Oh, yeah. Well, they build it into the pass, actually.
Okay.
You get a... Look, it's too complicated to explain. You know the key you need to know about Disney?
Mm.
40 plus all day. Easily, maybe 45 degrees. It was so insanely hot, and the lines are long. And my wife and I estimated, do you want to guess how much money we spent on water that day?
How much?
$60.
Oh my God.
We spent $60 on water.
If I can give you my tip, when I go there, I go there just on my own with my girlfriend. Always is easier and get that fast pass.
I'll tell you right now, if you want to go to Disneyland and you don't have somebody, either a girlfriend or a kid with you or something, you are going to get tackled.
Yeah, and rightfully.
You are going to get tackled.
Rightfully so. Goodbye, Bob.
Bye, Matt.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.